O Lord, our God, we thank you. For we can sing this story of love, which the world can never dream of. The love of God for rebellious, sinful humanity. The love of Christ for his sheep. O Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You lay down your life for the sheep. And as we open up your word, we pray that your spirit may indeed speak to us, that we may be your sheep and hear your voice and delight in you and obey you and rejoice in you. Oh, the sheep know the Master's voice. So may we hear. Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. We shall now go back to the 23rd Psalm. And this morning we shall deep into this psalm. Let me read to you verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Dear friends, let me remind you what we've been doing in the morning services. We are seeking to be helped by a number of psalms as we prepare for the Easter season, for the passion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are endeavoring to look at Psalms 21 to 24 in this season. Last week we looked at the 22nd Psalm. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You'll remember Jesus uttered those words on the cross and very much near to his death. So the 22nd Psalm certainly was in the mind of our Lord Jesus as he bore his cross and went to the Mount of Crucifixion. Psalm 22 is very much a psalm of crucifixion. And this morning we shall look at the 23rd Psalm. And this psalm is about peace and victory over death. It's a psalm of peace, and this psalm is the favorite of God's people down through the ages. Starting with David, he had that experience of being a shepherd, and later on he was king. As shepherd king, he wrote down his experience with the Lord and his enjoyment of God. And from that time onward, for the past 3,000 years, God's people, in times of especially grief and sorrow, have been singing this psalm. And they have found tremendous comfort. I do not need to inform you that often in a Christian funeral or a Jewish funeral, the 23rd Psalm is being sung. And there are many beloved tunes for this psalm. I guess if you ask around Christian people, you say, well, do you people sing psalms in your church? I guess most people look at you with wide eyes and say, Psalms? Oh yes, we do, the 23rd Psalm. Any other psalm? No. We give thanks to God that here we are, and we are endeavoring to sing more than the 23rd psalm, because there are certainly 149 psalms other than the 23rd psalm. I myself know about half a dozen of tunes for the 23rd psalm. I know about one or two in Chinese, at least two in English. I'm learning two Hebrew tunes simultaneously at the present time for this psalm. I think it would be a good fun if one of these days we can come together, and then some of us will say, well, let me sing to you the 23rd psalm in a Chinese tune. And then you will reply, let me sing to you in an Indonesian tune. Another will say, well, let me sing to you in Samoan. Oh, let me reply in Tonga. What else? Well, the rest of us will say, we're all going to sing the 23rd psalm in the beloved tomb, Quimont. Now, we are quite sure our Lord Jesus will not only have the 22nd psalm in his mind as we went up to Golgotha, but surely he would think, at least with a glimpse of his eyes, in the corner of his eye, the 23rd psalm, as he faced his enemies, as he was mocked, beaten, spat upon. Will not these words come to his heart? You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As our Lord Jesus, in his weary body, blood over him, and he could see the charge against him written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. He could at least read the Hebrew and the Greek, not sure about the Latin. This is the King of the Jews. Yes, you anoint my head with oil. So let us first of all refresh our memory of this beloved psalm and its contents. You all know verse 1, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The God of Israel, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. Even if the whole world should be against Christ, even though it is a shame to be a Christian in the workplace, even though I may be put in prison for faith in Jesus, even though the name of Jesus may be used every day as a word of abuse at the workplace, still the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my. He is my. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my shepherd who will lead and guide me, who will feed me, who will protect me, who will carry me through. The great German reformer Martin Luther certainly knew persecution and suffering and insult and so on. And Luther says, Christianity consists in personal pronouns. Christianity consists in personal pronouns. What are personal pronouns? I, you, he, him. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not only true that there's a creator, but the creator is my God. It's not only true that there is the Bible, but the God of the Bible is my Lord. God is my personal possession. He is mine. And how does it go? The Lord is my shepherd. You know that. I shall not want. I shall be in no lack. I shall want nothing else. The Lord God Almighty is my all-sufficiency. In the earlier Psalm, Psalm 16, verse 2, the psalmist says, reminding himself, he's speaking to himself, and dear friends, it's good to speak to yourself from time to time. But don't speak it out loud, too loudly in public. But the psalmist says there, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. O Lord God Almighty, you are all my goodness. You are all my sufficiency. You are all my enjoyment. And the psalmist goes on to say, in verse 5, Psalm 16, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. What does it mean? By saying to God, you are the portion of my inheritance. You know what inheritance is like? Some of us have received inheritance. Some of us will receive inheritance in the future. Well, parents pass on. And mom and dad have three houses. You're one of the three children. You got a house. You got a house. That is the portion of your inheritance. If the house is in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, then you have a good portion. But the psalmist is saying here, O God, you are the portion of my inheritance. Other people got houses and lands and stocks and shares, but I have you to be my portion of my inheritance. I have you. You are my possession. I don't care what other people may have, but my portion, the portion of my inheritance is you. You maintain my lot. Now that is what a believer in Christ is like. But that is in very strong contrast to the men of this world. The worldlings, if you take care to go to the next psalm, after Psalm 16, Psalm 17, in verse 14, there's something very telling there. Look at it. What does it say? Psalm 17, verse 14. The psalmist there is praying that he might be kept away from men of this world, from the worldlings. What are the worldlings like? They have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. The men of the world, the worldlings, have their portion, have their supreme joy and sufficiency in this life. All their hope, all their enjoyment are in this life. And the Lord God has given them good food and a good belly to enjoy the food. So it's all about food It's all about children. They're satisfied with children, and they leave the rest of their possession for their babes, their children's children. They pass on what they have. They pass on their possession to their future generation. That is all they have. Now, we may like to ask, aren't food and children and possession good? Oh yes, they are good. Can we enjoy good food? So we not spend time with our children and children's children and so on. Oh yes. Can we not enjoy our possession and pass on our possession to our future generation? Oh yes, oh yes. They are good things. Good things in themselves, but when you make the good things in this life to become your chief portion, if all that you have this morning are the things in this world, if the Lord God is not more than children and food and possession, my dear friends, you are the man of the world. And how do we stand in this regard? Let me ask you as well as myself, what is my greatest joy? Can I begin to say and to sing the first verse of the 23rd Psalm with truthfulness and integrity? Do I really say from the bottom of my heart, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Or are we saying, well, surely I'm in want. I'm in need of more money. I'm in need of better health. I certainly want another bigger, more exciting holiday. Oh, the Lord, well, he's not that important. Now, how do you stand? How do I stand this morning? Let us be honest. We have good life in the 21st century in Sydney here. Oh, we have good food. We have literally thousands of restaurants. We have the sunshine. We have fresh water. And most of us got plenty of money in his pocket. This is a good life. And our temptation is to put all our hope in this world. And when some of the things in this world should crumble, we're broken in pieces. Oh, may God help us. May God help each one of us to begin to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is my joy and delight and my all-sufficiency. Now listen to the psalmist, how he enjoyed good days. Oh, he has good days. Listen to what he says in verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Have you heard the language? Picture yourself as a sheep. You are lying down in green pastures, and there are lots of grass, and you chew the grass. You are enjoying good food, and it's sweet grass. And then you're beside still waters. When you're thirsty, you can get water and you drink. This is good life. This is good days. And the psalmist says here, it is he, the Lord, who makes me to lie down in green pastures. It is he, the Lord, who leads me beside the still waters. The believer in Christ enjoys the good things in life as gifts from God. That's the difference. It's not that we are not allowed to enjoy life. But we enjoy life with this deep thankfulness to God. And you say, well, this hot cross bun is just so lovely. And I thank the Lord that I've got the health to enjoy it. And what a lovely time is Easter that I can spend with my children and children's children. Oh, this is a cup of fresh, crisp apple cider. Oh, I enjoy the dim sum in the restaurant. The psalmist enjoyed the good things in life by thanking the Lord and seeing all the good things as provision from the God of goodness and mercy. Don't you enjoy life in Sydney? As recently we heard the singing, I won't tell you the details, but these flocks of birds in their season. And as we look at Orion and the Southern Cross and Milky Way and Sirion and so on, a clear sky, what a blessing it is to live in this beautiful city. Well, in the good days, there are still some difficult days. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. There are times of illness, times of distress, times of weakness. We may triple and stumble and fall, but it's the Lord who restores my soul. And furthermore, in verse 3, the psalmist David says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the way of the Lord. He leads his people in the path of righteousness. Oh, David certainly knows it is the Lord who leads him to walk in the path of righteousness. You remember at times David would swerve and went away from the path of righteousness. He would go to this lane of crookedness. And what did God do with him? He rebuked him. He confronted him. He brought him back to walk in the path of righteousness. He disciplined David. He brought him under this conviction of sin, and he brought him low, brought him down, so that he would walk in the path of righteousness. The Lord God whom we believe in is holy. He is righteous. And he wants us to do what is right. He wants us to be holy. And my dear friends, if you and I are his people, he loves us so much that when we go astray, when we disobey him, when we sin, he will always bring us back to the path of righteousness. But sometimes he will take his rod and lay his rod on our back. It may not be legal in Australia to have corporal punishment placed on your children anymore. But the Lord certainly is not bound by the law of Australia. And the Lord does so for his name's sake. Because he's holy. Because he's good. Now, my dear friends, these are the good days. Verses 1 to 3 in the 23rd Psalm talk about the good days, the normal days, the usual days, the days of light and ease. But then there's a turning point at verse 4. Here comes the evil day. Verse 4, the evil day. And what will happen in the evil day? The Lord God will even be nearer to his people. There's a saying, dying grace will be given to dying saints. We may tremble to think, well, what would happen if people should drag me to a prison cell for professing faith in Christ? How can I cope if these terrible things would happen to me, if this is a terrible illness should come to me? Dying grace will be given to dying saints. But my dear friends, it is your responsibility and mine to make sure that we are indeed saints in the days of prosperity. You realize, don't you, that the usual title for a Christian in the New Testament, especially in the New Testament, is what? Saint. The New Testament only called Christian once, and there's a nickname given to Christians by their enemies. But in the New Testament, Christians are usually called saints. Now, people wear lots of different t-shirts and sloppy joe and so on. And there are lots of sayings. I love to read the writings on some of these people's t-shirts. Make sure that those writings are okay and not, you know, gross or vulgar or something terrible. But dare you wear a shirt, t-shirt, saying that I'm a saint? We'd like to place a bit of engravement on your desk at work. Well, Saint Gerard. Sorry to pick fun on people sitting in front of me. Let me scare them away. But Anna go to work and Saint Anna. Or Saint Johnny. Just pick fun of myself. But that's what we are, my dear friends. If we are believers in Christ, we are saints. What does it mean? Saint means someone who is set apart to God. I belong to Christ. That is fundamentally what I am. Whether I'm a Presbyterian minister, or whether I'm in retirement, or whether I go on holiday, I am always a saint. I may be 10,000 miles away from Sydney and from you. I'm still a saint. I'm set apart to Christ. I'm set apart to God. And I'm meant to pursue a righteous and God-centered life. I never go on holiday as a Christian. Never. I may go on holiday from being a preacher, but I'm never away from being a saint. I'm never away from the pursuit to live a righteous and God-centered life. We move on to the evil day. Look at verse 4. How does it go? David says here, and he certainly knows something of this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh, the psalmist has his good days, his days of still waters and green pasture. But now the sheep is walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, wealth is gone. Health is gone. Family is gone. The sense of comfort is gone. The valley of darkness. It's dark. It's evil. You are long. Its valleys go deeper and deeper. Evil abounds. Then what happened? It is then that the Lord becomes nearer to his people. You notice the change of the pronoun from the third person, he, to the second person, you. In the good days, David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me, and so on. But now, in the evil day, what does David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Now it's all dark. It's all uncertainty. It's all confusion. It's getting deeper and deeper. And you fear no evil? How can you fear no evil? Answer. For thou art with me. Get the singular right. Thou art with me. You are with me. You the singular. You the singular God. Because you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is for discipline. The staff is for guidance. But all come from the Lord. And I want you to notice the language. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord will guide people. Not just to walk down and down the valley, but to walk out of the valley. I don't know how you feel, but I don't quite like the M5 tunnel. But I know some of you have to drive through the M5 tunnel regularly. You know, you're there and you got stuck in the traffic, the car is not moving, and then all this smoke and you forgot to turn your fans are control, and it's terrible, it's stuffy air, and you're not getting out. But then after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, you get out in the sunlight near Hurstville and so on. The Lord will guide his people to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. His people shall walk out of the valley. This dark, deep valley of the shadow of death. And here, my dear friends, this is the most important part. The Lord Jesus Christ is both the Good Shepherd and the Passover Lamb. This Easter is so special because Passover and Good Friday come together. Usually they are nearby, but only from time to time, they occur on the same day. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that Passover lamb. He was led to the slaughter. He entered into the valley of the shadow of death. And he came out of it. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And he's the good shepherd. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. Verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 14 of John 10. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known by my own, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore the Father loved me, because I laid down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Ever heard it? The Lord Jesus says so many times, I lay down my life. My dear friends, when you and I die, we do not lay down our lives. Death comes and swallows us and takes us away. But Jesus, he has the power, and he willingly, in obedience to his Father, he laid down his life. I laid down my life. I laid down my life. I laid down my life. Why? For my sheep. And I take up my life again. Why? For my sheep. As our Lord Jesus went up to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it was conscious, he was riding on in dignity to suffering and death. He would walk into the valley of the shadow of death, but he would walk out of it. And my dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has walked out of that valley of the shadow of death. And as we follow Jesus in life, in good days, in difficult days, eventually in the evil day, in a tremendous day, as we follow Jesus and we see his footprint and follow him and follow him all the way into that dark valley, we know we shall walk out of it and awake in eternity with the Lord and awake in glory with resurrection body when Jesus shall come again. Listen to the conclusion of this psalm. Listen to this triumphant confidence. Verses 5 to 6. You know these words, don't you? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't have so many enemies as David has. He even has his own son as his enemy who wants to kill him. And the men near him, they might be plotting to take his throne. Oh, thanks be to God, we do not have so many enemies. We may have few, but these few are enough. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Sin and death, do we not have enough enemies? We have the enemies outside of us. The world tempting us with its dazzling lights and colors. And then we have the spy within us, seeking to bring us down. This flesh, our greatest enemies perhaps, is self. Self. Is it not so? The self that is treacherous. The self that will sell our soul. This self which will say to us, well, go and prefer this little sweetness of sin and don't worry about your soul, don't worry about the consequences, go and enjoy it. There are men of experience who ruined their marriage, their reputation, their future by a little dangerous liaison. Why would they do that? If you ask them prior to this terrible fall, you say, well, have you not considered your wife and your children and your reputation and your future? That man would say, no. I was just thinking of that lust and enjoyment for a few moments. What's that? This is the treacherous self, selling our safety, our interest, our future, our soul. My dear friends, by the cross of Christ, the debt of sin is discharged. And the Lord Jesus Christ has disarmed the devil. Sin and self shall be put down. And Paul assured the Christian in Rome, in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Oh yes, the God of peace shall crush Satan under the feet of believers shortly, and the last enemy that will destroy is what? Is death. To the Christian, every Lord's Day is Jesus' Resurrection Day. In this Easter season, we are going to sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Loved, redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the victory won. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbid him rise. Christ has opened paradise. So we now where Christ have led, following our exalted head, make like him we rise. Ours, what? The cross, the grave, the skies. May we by faith say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, we bow before your sovereign majesty. We thank you that you are good and your mercy endures forever. For we are weak, we are prone to wander. Oh, we are still quite capable to destroy ourselves, except you are keeping us. O Lord God, give us grace to follow you in the good days. In days of prosperity and strength and health, may we be thankful. May we follow the Lord in the path of righteousness. Lead us, we pray. O prepare us to stand firm, to have our eyes fixed upon Jesus, to see the footprints of Christ in that dark valley, may we follow him all the way out to glory until we see you as you are. Keep us from falling. Present us faultless before the present, your presence of joy. In Jesus' name.